Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
What is the overarching, distinguishing feature of the fruitful life of the Christian? One word, love. And you can enter into a life, a new life, not leading to death, but leading to life eternal, a fruitful life. So in this final message in the series, The Seven Deadly Sins, I thought we should look at a fruitful life.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Today, we come to the series finale of our study on the seven deadly sins. We've learned how all sin leads to spiritual death, but when we repent and trust Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we're empowered to live a new and fruitful life. So let's join Pastor John Monroe for today's lesson on the fruitful life.
Today is the last message on the series on the seven deadly sins. We've thought of pride, envy, anger, sloth, gluttony, greed, and lust. Truly, the wages of sin is death. But in the wonderful gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ offers us eternal life as an act of the grace of God. And once we place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, which results in change. In this final message, we're concluding what we began last time, looking at John 15, where Jesus tells us he is the true vine and we are his branches. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Believing into Christ involves trusting in and relying on his resources. So let's listen as we conclude this series by thinking of the fruitful life. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 15. Jesus is speaking. He says here, chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. An astonishing passage of scripture that is so rich. What to say, a few observations on this passage as we think of the fruitful life. And surely, if you're a follower of Jesus, you want your life to count. You want your life to be fruitful. First of all, the fruitful life is united with Christ. This is foundational. We must grasp this. Authentic followers of Jesus Christ are united to Christ. That is, salvation is a personal relationship with Christ. Now, secondly, this fruitful life is pruned by the Father. Verse 1, I'm the true vine, and my Father, God the Father, is the vine dresser. He is the gardener. I've never grown grapes, but I understand that the vines have to be pruned from time to time. And if there is a branch that is not bearing fruit, that branch is taken away. And it means you're not as fruitful as you should be, and your heavenly Father comes and he prunes you. He's not seeking to punish you. He wants you to be more and more fruitful. And Jesus never throws away authentic branches and casts them away. You say, is this passage saying that I can lose my salvation if I'm not fruitful enough? No, that's not what the passage is saying at all. Jesus has given teaching about eternal security in passages such as John 10. And he says in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. The Savior will never cut you off, will never sever you. But pruning and discipline happens. So first, the fruitful life is united with Christ. Secondly, the fruitful life is pruned by the Father. Third, and this is so important, the fruitful life is nourished by his word. That is, fruitful Christians are obedient Christians. This is where it gets very convicting, doesn't it? Notice verses 7 and 8 again. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Do you notice this? Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to me my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Notice this, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Fruitful Christians are obedient Christians. You know, if you love someone, you seek to please them. If you have a friend that you say you love, you don't disregard her wishes, her interests, her opinions. If you did that, we would question your love. No, one of the marks of love is that you seek to please the person. Jesus is saying, one of the characteristics, if you love me, is that you'll keep my commandments. And in that way, we abide in his love. You sometimes feel, you wonder if God still loves you. Could it be that you are disobedient? Turn back to chapter 8, John chapter 8. Well-known verses to some of you. John 8, verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How do you know you're a true disciple? Abiding in his word. That is absolutely essential. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we are to be obedient. And that means we are to know the word of God and obey it. Why? Because we have a master deceiver. He seeks with his lies, his illusions, to make us his slaves. Jesus calls him in John 8, the father of lies. And the devil wants you to continue in these deadly sins and other sins. He wants to have the hold of you. He wants to control you. He wants to reduce the fruitfulness of your life. What must I do then? I must be nourished by the word of God. How do we begin the Christian life? By hearing the word of God and believing it. Truly, truly, says Jesus, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes it has everlasting life. This is what it means to be a Christian, is to hear the word of God, is to hear the gospel, and to respond to that, and so become a follower of Jesus Christ. But this is to characterize my life, that the Christian is constantly being nourished by the Word of God. It's abiding in the Word of God, which is truth, and I must hear the Word of God, and I must obey the Word of God. This is why it's so important that you come as you've come today to hear the preaching of the Word of God. That's why it's so important that you're in the Scriptures. This abiding then is being immersed in, rooted in, and nourished by the Word. John chapter 14, verse 23. Here's again the Lord Jesus. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That couldn't be clearer. If you love Jesus Christ, you will keep his word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. How wonderful. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And every stage of discipleship, of following Jesus, is dependent on the Word of God. I am daily to listen to Jesus and obey him. And this Christian life then produces fruitfulness, which is the very character of Jesus and his likeness. So I have to ask you, some of you are here, and if you're honest, you would acknowledge that your spiritual life is stale. It's withering. Isn't that right? It should be fresh. It should be vibrant. It should be fruitful. If you know your Bible, as I say this, you're thinking of Psalm number 1, the doorkeeper of the Psalter. Psalm 1, listen to it, about this man who's blessed by God. You want to be blessed by God? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He has a love for the Word of God. He delights in the Word of God. It's not a chore. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That's it. The fruitful life is being nourished by the Word of God. You are to draw from the inexhaustible true vine every day. You are to read your Bible. And you say, John, I do that and I don't get all that much from it. I plead guilty to that as well. Sometimes we'll read the Bible and I think, I really didn't get much from it. But did you notice verse 3? Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. This book, like no other book, will keep you clean. If you ask me, what did you have for dinner last Monday night? I don't know what it was, but I know it was good and I know it nourished me. And if I said to you, what did you read in your Bible a week ago? You might not remember, but one thing I guarantee, if you read it with a humble heart, asking the Spirit to teach you, it has a cleansing effect. It has a supernatural effect in your life. And so you're reading the Bible. Of course, we want to learn. We want to understand. But even when we don't understand everything that we're reading, we're being nourished by it and we're being cleansed by it. Here, someone on Monday gave me this flower, and it's in my office. And this thing has grown incredible this past week. I couldn't believe it. And the instruction says, it's in water. You got to keep apparently 75% of water. And it said also it needs light. So I've made sure it's got plenty of water. I have it by the window. It's got plenty of light. And this thing is growing. But notice, the roots are in the water. It's being nourished by the water. And if I took it out of the water, it's going to die. And some of you are struggling spiritually because you don't have roots in the Word of God. You need to be constantly nourished by the Word of God. I do. I read the Bible. Yes, I have to study in order to preach and to teach. But apart from that, I'm reading the Word of God. You're to do that. Children, you can do it. A few verses, you don't need to read a whole book. It's amazing how much you could read in half an hour. You say, I don't have time. Listen, you spent about 2 or 3 hours last night watching some ball game. And apparently somebody won and somebody lost. That always happens. And you spent hours, and you're telling me you can't spend 30 minutes in this. You can spend a lot of time working out. You can spend a lot of time doing all kinds of things. This is to be a priority so that I am fruitful, so that you're fruitful. And Jesus is telling this. The fruitful life is nourished by the word. If you are not obeying the word of God, you will not be fruitful. You will not be growing. Here's the final one. The fruitful life is loving life, is loving. Fruitful life, first, is united with Christ. Secondly, it's pruned by the Father. Third, it's nourished by his word. Finally, the fruitful life is loving. Again, verse 9 of John 15, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is the way of joy. This is the way of peace. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17, these things I command you to do what? That you will love one another. What is the overarching, distinguishing feature of the fruitful life of the Christian? One word, love. These disciples knew that they were loved by Jesus. The beginning of the upper room ministry in John chapter 13, before he washed his disciples' feet, we read, John writes, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the uttermost. He loved them to the end. And it's very interesting that John, who is recording this, from John 13 to the end of John's gospel, John 21, do you know how he refers to himself? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, Jesus loved all of the disciples. He washed all of their feet. He loved them to the end. But here is a man who understands an amazing thing, that in terms of his relationship with Jesus, he describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. First occurrence is in chapter 13, verse 22. And as you read the rest of the gospel, frequently he refers to this. Does it mean that Peter and Andrew and Philip didn't love Jesus? No. But John understood this. I am loved by God. Can I humbly say, my name is John, and I'm also a disciple whom Jesus loves. We were taught in Sunday school, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. What a Savior. The disciples were going to leave him. Judas was going to betray him. Peter was going to deny him, and still he loves him. This love is not a temporary, casual, conditional love. No, this is not a love of convenience. This is a revelation of the very heart of God. That as I come to Christ and as I abide in the vine, I can say and you can say, I am a disciple whom Jesus loved. We sang that old hymn, loved with everlasting love. In a love which cannot cease, I'm his and he is mine. Doesn't that sustain you? I don't look on myself as a wretched sinner. I do sin. No, I'm a disciple whom Jesus loved. And his love will never end. Human love goes up and down. Human love sometimes comes to an end, but this is an everlasting love. We are people of love. We have received this love. Now Jesus is commanding us to love one another. John is going to say that in 1 John, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And that command to love Christ and to love others is repeated over and over again in Scripture in all kinds of way. This is a self-sacrificial love, a love that washes the feet of others, a love that goes the second mile, a love that considers the interests of others before our own selfish needs. And this love that we have for one another goes out, doesn't it? Goes out to orphans. It goes out to the needy. Goes out to the poor. Goes out beyond the walls and the campus of church. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And notice Jesus said it's a command. Chapter 15, 17, these things I command you so that you love one another. Are you a loving person? Why is it sometimes we're so harsh? Why is it sometimes we're so critical? Why is it sometimes we won't give someone the benefit of a doubt and we're so quick to judge them and to hammer them? Let's not be like that, brothers and sisters. As we abide in the vine and draw on that wonderful power and wisdom, we will display the love of God. My challenge as I close is twofold. First, are you united to Christ? Let me ask you, do you have a living, dynamic, personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If not, I urge you to believe in him, to trust him. He loves you. Bore your sins on the cross. Rose again. Call out, and he will save you and transform you. If you are, brothers, sisters, I'm asking, is there much fruit in your life? Is there that love, that joy, that peace, that self-control? Not so much what you're doing, but who you are. Are you being nourished by the word? Are you loving others? Are you displaying the fruit of the Spirit? Over these weeks, we spent a lot of time on these deadly sins. And these sins will damn you for all of eternity if you don't know Christ. I want to point you to our beautiful Savior who came in love to die for sinners. And you can enter into a life, a new life, not leading to death, but leading to life eternal, a fruitful life. A life of joy, a life of peace, as you trust in Christ. It's not all about us. It's not I, but Christ who lives in me.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, The Fruitful Life. Today, we're concluding our study on the seven deadly sins. And as a special bonus alongside this series, we'd like to offer you a free copy of the powerful new booklet John has put together titled Deadly, Why Sin Still Matters. To understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and appreciate our need for salvation, we must have a clear understanding of the reality and the implications of sin. So reach out today and get your copy of John's essential booklet, Deadly, Why Sin Still Matters, by visiting our website at theverdict.org. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for John's monthly email newsletter. And then if you'd like to help our radio ministry to continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, consider giving a one-time donation of any amount to The Verdict. Your support will help bring God's word into the lives of people all around the world. And you can easily give a gift right now by going online to theverdict.org. Or feel free to send a check through the mail by writing to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And before we close, make sure you've subscribed to The Verdict Podcast, now featuring John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum. You can listen on your favorite podcast app or through our website at theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you daily turning from the deadly sins of pride, envy, anger, sloth, gluttony, greed, and lust? Are you daily in God's Word? I'm praying that you're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins, was buried, and who rose again. Those who abide in Christ make a difference. They produce beautiful fruit in their lives, which pleases God and blesses others. Next time, I'm excited to announce that we're beginning a new series in the marvelous little book by Paul to the Philippians. Join me then.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.